the Ideas Tease primetime sports scene from Paleo's Grill on WGNS AM FM.
And welcome back to Paleo's Grill. Everybody's full except for Donnie, who's watching his weight. And we are having a good time at Paleo's Grill on the Ideas Tease primetime sports scene. And Dick Palmer joins us, as we mentioned, the former host of this program, and he's been with us from time to time, and we welcome you, Dick, and glad you took time out, because I know most of the time we have a hard time getting you because your schedule's so busy.
Well, right now I'm in kind of a in-between thing, so yeah. I was just going to watch some Monday night football tonight.
Basketball is just around the corner, though. It's just right here. We were talking a little bit, and Dick, we wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about some old times and some history of Murfreesboro, because you've been such a volatile part in baseball here, but we were talking about the old park over by what you told us it was Walmart, and that's right. It used to be a Walmart there.
The Mac.
The Mac, yeah. And where the Fabric Center is and that kind of thing. And that was Grantland Rice Park.
Exactly, named after the great sports writer who's a native of Murfreesboro. And the Little Leagues played out there for a good while until they went over to Highland in the hospital
right,
area.
Oakland, right? Oakland's ballpark.
Oakland's ballpark. But Grantland Rice Park was I was telling the guys before we went on, first time I was ever on the radio was at Grantland Rice Park, because when I was in high school, they let me sit up in the little stoop they had behind home plate, and I'd keep the scorebook for, official score. And they paid me a few bucks to do that. And Ray Duffy occasionally would come out there and on WGNS would broadcast a Little League game or a Babe Ruth League game, whoever happened to be playing. And I didn't even remember this, but before he died, my dad told me that the first time you were ever on the radio, Mr. Duffy let you do a couple of innings of a Little League game out at Grantland Rice Park. And I didn't even remember that. So
You've had a few broadcasts since then.
I've had a few.
Well, it's odd. It would be hard, I guess, hard pressed for anybody to do that. But the town was so different then, and smaller, and a lot of the local flavor that you have, it's almost hard to capture now because the city's gotten so big.
Yeah, there's no way to do it anymore. I tell you a funny story about Grantland Rice, if you got just a second.
We got 45 minutes, Dick. You're plenty of time.
There was a huge open area over behind first base, if you can picture that, Donnie. Big open field, and they used to bring carnivals in there, fairs, whatnot. And, we'd have the Ferris wheel going, and all the carnival things would be going. Well, my good friend Norris Lovern, who was one of the people who got Little League Baseball started in this town, was coaching his team. And they were playing, and the carnival was in town. So everybody was – it's a big crowd out there. The Ferris wheel was going. The merry-go-round was going. And they had an attraction where there were live ponies. And there was a guy in the middle with a rope, and you could – the kids could get up on the ponies, and he'd just ride them around in a circle, live ponies. And Norris's Little League team was playing. He looked out there at the start of an inning, and he didn't have a right fielder. So he said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't have a right fielder. Where is he? And he looked on the bench. He wasn't there. He looked all over. Thought maybe he'd gone to the bathroom. He wasn't there. He looked out there, and his right fielder was on a pony being led around. Had his glove and his cap on.
Little pony ride in between.
And the pony ride. And from that day on, that kid's nickname was Pony.
Oh, that's crazy. Classic.
I mean, it stuck with him.
That is too funny.
Coach Lovern was your coach, I know, for many years.
Yes.
And, there are a lot of people in this town, Dick, that don't get a lot of credit. I mean, or maybe we've forgotten
how instrumental they were in sports and what we've got today in soccer and baseball. And not only you, but you got to be some kind of dedicated guy to go out there year after year and get those little fellas out there and play and organize it and be in charge of it and that kind of thing. But he was really instrumental in the success of what we have today. Really.
Yeah, if they ever decide to come up with a Little League Hall of Fame here, he ought to be one of the first inductees because, he just loved the game, loved to help kids and that sort of thing.
What kind of coach was he, Donnie?
He was a great coach, a great guy, and I played for him in Babe Ruth and on the Braves with a lot of good guys, but he was certainly one of those guys that was a mainstay at the time and still is.
Yeah, I was his assistant coach on the Braves one year. I had a team of my own in the Little League, and the Braves were in the Babe Ruth League, so I helped him out.
I remember we were playing a game at the VA hospital at the VA, and it was like senior Babe Ruth, and the steal signal was. He just crossed his legs at the third base coach, and he would give me the sign, but I just wasn't quite ready to go, based on the pitcher, and I think it was left-handed pitcher, and I just didn't feel comfortable stealing, so finally he just shouted out from across the field, "Steal, Donnie, steal!" So I really felt good about stealing then,
I can see him doing
it. Right? Yeah. But he was a great guy. He sure did a lot for me, and I sure appreciate it.
And he loved the Atlanta Braves. He was a big Yankee fan, but when the Braves came south, he became a Braves fan.
Yeah, he took us many a time as a team to go see the Braves play.
Well, we were talking about how you got your start with Ray Duffy. But really, were you one of those kids that – I mean, how did you get involved in it in terms of actually – did you – do that as a kid? Did you have interest listening to great announcers and that kind of thing?
I did. When I was growing up over on East Main Street, this was before television, had a big console radio with an AM and an FM. If you had an FM radio back then, that was
big time.
That's right. That was pretty good. But I used to listen to Major League Baseball games on the Mutual Network, the Mutual Game of the Day, Al Helfer, and Gordon McClendon, the old Scotsman. And they would do a major league game every day. And when they didn't have any games, and most of the games back then were played in the daytime, and when they didn't have any games, they would recreate a game from the 1920s or the 1930s, like a World Series game, and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Jimmy Fox and all those guys. They would recreate it from the box scores that were available. So I listened to those guys. I had a scorebook. I kept a running score. I guess that's where I learned how to keep score, listening to those games. And then later on, I got to listening to football and basketball games on the radio. And it just something that got in my blood.
When you do it that often, you listen to that many games. Mm-hmm. And Brian has talks to me about when we do a baseball game. And he goes, "Where did you come up with that phrase, or where did you come up with that?" Because, he's a young pup. But, most of my stuff, and Donnie will vouch for that, most of the stuff I get during a baseball game is from Milo Hamilton and Ernie Johnson, and not much from Skip, because by that time I was already, but Milo Hamilton was one of my favorites, and Larry Munson. And I would listen to them. That's when I picked up the Braves. And that was something. But you pick up little things from them, don't you? Little sayings that, and they're not really stealing. They don't care that you steal them. But, it's just something like a can of corn or, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Larry Munson was my favorite. He was a guy, and he did the Nashville Vols for a long time, did Vanderbilt football and basketball. I just thought he was – and I had a chance later on when I was in that profession to talk with him a few times, and he was just very gracious and what he wanted to talk about mainly. And I remember talking with him the last time we went to Georgia to play, and he was still doing the games. He wanted to talk about the Nashville Vols and remembering some of the great players and that sort of thing. And if he didn't want to talk about the Vols, he wanted to talk about fishing at Center Hill Lake.
Wow.
And
I can remember him on Channel 2 with that big cigar, and
he'd
talk about the big news.
Yep.
And into than you sitting in a chair smoking a cigar. I don't know if that'd go over very well now. Do you?
He had a good hunting and fishing show.
Yes, he did.
On television, too, when he was
I don't
here.
Want to say the name. I know there was Woods and Waters, but that was with the other guy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll never forget that call when Lindsey Scott made that reception against Florida to win the game on like the last play of the game, basically.
That's a classic.
That is a classic, and his play-by-play of that, you know, run Lindsey run. Yep. That was just one of those things that I remember is one of those all-time classic calls.
And one of the things that we even on the Blue Raider Network we don't say it on the air, but when there's a when there's a crucial game and we're ahead and the clock's running, it's always run, clock, run.
Yeah.
That's one of his.
I love the call he made with Herschel Walker, though. That's another good one. And but anyway, I know we got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Dick Palmer's start. Dick Palmer, this is your life. You know, we won't have any special guests come through here, though. You know, so it's my
this
fourth
is as
grade
good as
teacher.
Kids.
Yeah,
he was a rowdy little booger.
We'll be back with more with Dick Palmer here on the IDST's Primetime Sports Scene. Stay with us.
For over four decades, Fans Heating and Air has been a symbol of quality for Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. Alton and Jason Fan are there to ensure quality to every customer, even showing up on site. Fans Heating and Air is located on Jayhawk Court near the County School Board offices. They ask that you stop by or call 893-7930. That's 893-7930. For friendly, complete service on Amana, Bryant, or York Heating and Air products, Fans will do it all. Sell you your choice of products and then install it with their factory-trained, experienced professional staff. In the unlikely event you need service, Fans will be there with trained technicians. Fans specializes in new homes, custom homes, or existing buildings. Give Fans Heating and Air a call today, 893-7930, 893-7930. Good luck to all our schools and student athletes from Fans Heating and Air.
Intersource is your source for DirecTV, Dish Network, Xfinity, and Charter.
We provide TV, internet, and phone service for your home and business.
We are your trusted source for entertainment.
Call us today, 815-1800, for a free evaluation of your current services.
We will help you put the bundle together that best fits your needs.
Mid-South Satellite is now Intersource, 815-1800.
Intersource is your trusted source for entertainment, 815-1800.
Family fun at the Smyrna Bowling Center at the corner of Sam Ridley Parkway and Weekly Lane. Owner Roy Bowden joins us to talk about leagues.
We have a whole range of leagues from people who claim they can't bowl on up to the very professional types.
Plus, being open 24 hours a day gives those who work in industry, like at Nissan and others in the area, the opportunity to unwind.
They love to come in right after work, have a good time, relax for a little while. They go home and they're in great shape.
The Smyrna Bowling Center at the corner of Sam Ridley Parkway and Weekly Lane.
The team of chefs at Paleo's Grill invite you to the new Murfreesboro location on Northwest Broad, just down from Jackson Heights. Stop in and try one of their made-from-scratch entrees featuring steaks, Italian, seafood, and Southern comforts. Some of their freshly prepared grates, Nana's lasagna made from old family recipes, fish and chips, smoked maple-glazed pork chop, fried green tomatoes, just to name a few. Come taste the Paleo's difference with casual dining for lunch and dinner daily. Paleo's, always fresh, always delicious.
There is a difference at Loveless Fine Photography.
We have, I bet, 20 different backgrounds for inside that you can pick from.
And Alan Loveless has developed his property's secret garden, and the waterfall is gorgeous.
And people think about little ones in their yards, but this is a big one where you can sit on it, you can get under it, and a lot of our couples are getting under the waterfall at the end of this session.
Take a look at the photo galleries at lovelessphotography.com. Loveless Photography, 890-1558. For portraits you'll love, why settle for less? Middle Tennessee Christian School, giving students from pre-kindergarten through high school the opportunity to grow academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually.
We're going to continue to work to build that academic program to give those graduates the best opportunities they can have.
President Lynn Watson of Middle Tennessee Christian School.
We encourage them to give us a call, come and spend a day with us, and just see what it's like here at Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Middle Tennessee Christian School. Training for eternity.
The IDST's primetime sports scene from Paleo's Grill on WGNS AM FM.
We're back to the IDST's Primetime Sports Scene from Paleo's Grill, and Dick Palmer is our guest, Brian Baird along with me, and Donnie has flown the coop, you might say.
Got a long day planned at Rockville Elementary tomorrow, I would assume.
And so we're going to round out the half hour with Dick Palmer. And Dick, I know it's you've probably been asked this many, many times, but you know,
ask me again.
How did you get started in the business, in terms of, and where you were, and how you got to where you are today, that kind of thing. And if you need to take 30 minutes, go ahead.
From what I said before, it's something that kind of got in my blood. And when I went off to school, I went to junior college for 2 years and then came back here to finish up at middle. And I didn't know what I wanted to really do, except that I thought I wanted to be a sports announcer. But there wasn't any mass comm department over at the university at that time. So you just had to kind of make your own way. And I went to WMTS, which was a daytime station at that time. It was on 860. And John Hood was working there. He was the news director. And Virgil Trim was the manager.
The old 810, he was there too?
Yeah.
John Hood? I didn't know.
Yeah, it was 860 before it was 810, I think.
Yeah.
And so they let me come in and hang around. So I came in and I hung around.
Serve coffee and that kind of thing.
Sort of thing. Yeah. And they let me go to ball games with them. John was doing the play-by-play, and since they were a daytime station, they would tape the Friday night games, play them back on Saturday morning. They'd tape the MTSU games the day games they would do live, and then the night games I think they taped and played back Sunday afternoon. But so they let me come along and just hang out in the press box and observe and watch. And finally, after a year or so of doing that, John asked me one week, "Are you ready to do a game?"
Yeah.
My heart stopped beating. I said, "Gosh, John, I don't know." He said, "Well," said, "we're going to let you do one this week." So I did one, and I had a tape of it somewhere, and I burned it, I think, later on. But that was they let me do a game, and then they started letting me do one every now and then, and started doing some basketball games with them.
It kind of takes something like that, though, doesn't it? Somebody that's supportive to get in the business. I know Jeff and Brian, you know, helped me get into this and doing this.
Everything that I've accomplished, if anything, I owe to John Hood.
Your road is very similar. I mean, and I didn't know that coming in, but you know, Jeff kind of did the same thing with me. I was a high school kid. Bart hired me, you know, because
you did serve coffee.
Well, I was at a 4-H Share of the Fun contest, and Bart's daughter was in that 4-H contest, and he said, "Why don't you come in and apply for a job?" And didn't have anything, but called me a week later, and that's how I got. But I started hanging out with Jeff. Going to the games with Bobby and Bobby.
But now you weren't getting paid a lot, right?
You might say that.
Yes. Okay.
And then when I of course, I was going to MTSU at the time also. So they let me come in and gave me I got choice prime time airtime. Sunday morning, I ran the board from sign on till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, it was a long day, and I had preacher after preacher after preacher come in. You'd have to get them on, and some of them were on tape, some of them came in live, but I did that. And then they started letting me do Saturdays. We were on, I guess we were on the Ball Network then, and I did the rode the board for the ball games. And
so you did all this thing that Rafferty back at the station's doing, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I got a DJ show after my last class was let out at 3 o'clock, and I went on the air at 3:05. You know, so I had to make a run.
Yeah, book. Yeah.
But I had the DJ show, and it was from 3 to sign off. which in the summer was 7 o'clock or so because of the days. But in the winter, it was like 3 to 4:30. So I got to brag. I didn't have to work as long. Then I didn't make as much money.
Now, we need to explain WMTS at that time.
It was a daytime station.
Right. So when darkness fell, so did the station.
Right. The station was located right over there on out here on Broad Street, right around the corner from the police department. I think there's a used to be a used car place there. I don't know what's there right now.
Yeah, I think it still is.
It had a nice little building. It was owned by Art Smith out of Lookout Mountain, the Chattanooga area, and was managed by Virgil Trim, and just a super guy to work for. And John was the news director. And later, John left and went on to Samsonite as personnel, director of personnel out there, human resources. And Louis Penuel was the followed him, I think, as the news director. Louis was on the staff there. And Louis left, went to Channel 5 in Nashville, and was one of their best news photographers for a long time. He was Hooper's older brother. And Al Parsons was our engineer. He left and put the station on in Woodbury, the one that's out by the cemetery.
BRY?
Yep. And owned that station for a while. So worked with some great people over there. John McCrary came in as a DJ, and he later bought the station and worked for him some. So, you know, it was just, we were kind of like family, just like every other small radio station.
Yeah. What era did you actually get started? What when your college years and all? Was that 60s?
I was in, I graduated from MTSU in 1960, taught school at Hopgood, 61 and 62, coached basketball 2 years, coached the football team 1 year. I'd never played any football in high school. And we only had one male teacher other than myself. And when he left, Butler James was the principal. Butler said, "You're my new football coach." I was the only male teacher in the school.
I had a little studying up to do.
Studying up to do. We put in Mr. Pate's single wing. I got a guy I knew named Gene Russell who had played for him. And between the two of us, we managed to win the city championship and and go unscored on in six games. Undefeated, unscored on. And I retired.
That's a pretty good record to retire on there, isn't it?
Undefeated in middle school football.
And unscored on. And I doubt if he's listening, but Mr. Jolly will remember the final, I think the final game, which was for the championship, which we won by a score of 6-0 on a reverse pass, similar to the one that Middle Tennessee ran against Georgia Tech Friday night, a throwback pass, hit the guy wide open in full stride. That was the only score of the game.
Yeah.
So you're at WMTS, and you're working in part-times
right.
here and there.
Exactly.
And so how did the MTSU gig happen, or better yet, was there something before that?
And something before
You're preceding my existence in Murfreesboro. Yeah. I moved from Harsville in 63.
There's a Memphis era in here, too.
You're going to have to fill me in on some
of
that.
Something before that, and it again has to do with Little League Baseball. In 1963, the Little League State Tournament came to Murfreesboro, and we played it on the field over on Highland Avenue, the Oakland, the Little Field over there. State Tournament. It was quite a different looking field then than it is now. And there was a team there from Jackson, Tennessee, and they wanted the games broadcast, but they didn't want to send anybody down to do them, so they called my station, I guess, just picked it out of the phone book, and Virgil Trim said, "Well, we've got a guy here who'll be glad to do the game." So they put me up there in the press box, and I sent the games back to Jackson. I think they played 3 or 4 games. I think they won the thing. And anyway, about a week later, the general manager down there called me and offered me a job doing football and basketball. And Jackson High School at that time had the number one football team in the state, and that was on the pole poll era before the playoffs. So and WMTS had just gotten their FM license, and they were set to go full-time, nighttime, daytime, and we were going to do all the sports and everything. Of course, and we were big rivals with this station, with GNS. And Virgil had promised me that I could do all the games. And so I had a big choice to make. You know, did I want to stay here and stay on the local scene and do the games, or did I want to kind of branch out on my own and see what I could do out there? And I took the job. I turned it down, took it again after I thought about it a while, and so I went down there in September of 63. I was told my wife, my new year begins September 1. That's my year goes September 1 to July 31, because that's the start of football season, or it used to be.
yeah.
But we went down there, and Jackson won the state championship again, and did a lot of football, and stayed there 63 through 70, 7 or 8 years, married while I was down there, and two of my kids were born there. And in 1970, I saw a little really small thing in the commercial appeal that the New Orleans Buccaneers of the American Basketball Association were going to move to Memphis and play at the Mid-South Coliseum. And I got to thinking, well, they're going to need somebody to broadcast the games. And WREC, which was the CBS station in Memphis, got the rights to the game. So I called down there, and their general manager was Fred Cook, who just an icon in the Memphis industry, Memphis television and radio. And what a great voice he had. And he said, well, why don't you get a tape together and send it down here, and we'll listen to it. So I did that, and I'd been broadcasting not only high school and ball in Jackson, but college basketball with Union Bulldogs, Union University. Was with them 5 or 6 years. So I got what I thought was one of my better games and sent it down there. And they called me back and said, we'd like for you to come down and talk to us. So I kind of got a little lump in my throat. And well, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to come talk. So they brought me down there. The coach of the team was Babe McCarthy, the former Mississippi State coach, who had a big rival with Adolph Rupp back in the day. And the owner of the team was a guy named P.L. Blake from Mississippi. And when I walked into the station, they brought me into the office, and there was Babe McCarthy, and there was the owner of the team, and there was Fred Cook, and there was little old me. And they were all sitting around. Everybody shook hands, and Fred said, well, let's turn this tape on and see what you guys think. So I'm sitting there.
That's just like somebody saying to you, give me your radio.
I'm dying.
Yeah, that's kind of daunting right there.
They turned the tape on, and I'm listening to myself. I think, this is the worst thing I have ever heard. And he didn't let it run very long, thank God, and cut it off. And they looked at each other, and Fred Cook said, well, what do you think? Babe McCarthy said, boys, I believe we got our man. And I could have just walked on water.
Yeah. I bet.
I mean, that's just got to be like a fairy tale almost. I mean, the fact that you just kind of threw your name in the hat, and boom, there you are.
So, anyway, and this was fairly close to the season starting. I'd never seen a professional basketball game in person. And they were going to play an exhibition game up at UT Martin, their field house. So Fred Cook said, we're going to send an engineer up there with you, and we're going to tape the game and let you do a dry run to tape it. And we're playing the Dallas Chaparrals. I didn't know the rules or anything. I got my information and went up there and did the game and got through it okay. And then for the next 5 years, I did about 85 to 90 games a year for them. And
so you did.
That's how that happened.
That's what got you to Memphis.
Yeah.
And I guess you did some. You did baseball too.
I did.
Was it Double A then?
I did 1 year of Double A baseball, 72, for the Memphis Blues, a Mets farm club, and boy, I would have loved to have done more. But our station got the station I worked for was WREC. I said got the Cardinal network, and so
they still. And they carried it just a few years
right,
ago.
Right, and so another station got the rights, and of course I couldn't broadcast on another station. They wouldn't let me do that, so I did the PA. So they gave me the PA job, so I still got to go out and do all the home games on the PA.
That's tough.
Yeah.
You know, do you find yourself like going, I'm living a dream because I'm getting paid to do something that I love, and there's not a lot of people that get that opportunity to actually do that.
Yeah, I think that every time I go behind the mic, I sure do.
You know, people ask me why I do this, and you know, I work full time and then come and do it. But I said it's not a job to me; it's a love, you know, that kind of thing.
So I did that and did the World Football League for the year and a half that it was in existence, and.
That was the Grizzlies?
Yeah, the Grizzlies, yeah, from the Liberty Bowl Stadium and traveled with them, traveled on their team plane and everything, traveled with the basketball team. Basketball team always flew commercial. And, we got a lot of stories, but that would be for another time, I guess. But finally, when the World Football League folded, the ABA left and folded 1 year after the Memphis team was taken out and couldn't operate. And I was working there as sports director, and the station had actually sold to a group out of North Carolina. This was actually before the ABA folded. Our station sold, and all of us who were department heads were fired. Basically, they let us all go, not at one time. In fact, the station manager was the first to go, and I was the last to go. And so for about a year there, it was kind of touch and go. I got a job doing a call-in show on a sports talk station there. And it was a morning sports talk show, and that was unheard of back then. But we did it from George Lapidus and I. Split time on that, did it from like 8 to 9 in the morning or something like that. Did that. I had my PA at the ballpark, and I still had my ABA game. So we managed to get by. And then the station called and hired me back after the new owners had taken over and everything. They hired me back, and I stayed there about a year before I moved back to Murfreesboro, and my dad had he was getting up in years and needed some help in the business. And so I decided this would probably be a better place to raise kids. So came back. John Ward called me right after I got back, offered me a spot on the Vol Network. So I worked for him for 5 years on the pregame and postgame shows up there. And then in 81, when Monty got sick, is when I started at Middle. So.
Let's take a break there, and when we come back, we'll talk about the MTSU years.
Oh, this is your life,
this is your life, Dick Palmer. As the IDST's primetime sports scene continues, stay with us.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. You can also have your monthly bank statement sent directly to your email. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. Come and see for yourself why there's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Sir Pizza.
Sir Pizza spokesman Dalton Barrett with my friend John, whose parents just don't understand our obsession.
I told them I only eat squares and with only crumble bits of pepperoni. They say that's how it all starts.
Don't fight it, John. Don't fight the force. Square slices forever, dude. We're obsessed with Sir Pizza on East Main, South Church at Barfield Crescent, and on Memorial.
Sir Pizza, you made me love pizza again.
Winners Trophies can help you with customized awards for any occasion. Owner Kelly Hockenberry continues to provide awards for sports teams, churches, recognition awards, and more. Call Winners Trophies at 904-6002. That's 904-6002 for the best in quality, service, and pricing. You can also email Kelly, winnerstrophy@comcast.net. That's winnerstrophy@comcast.net. Any award for any occasion. Winners Trophies, 904-6002.
This is Steve Martin at Steve Martin Construction. From the plan, design to build, we know that your biggest investment is your home. At Steve Martin Construction, we'll spend as much time as needed to ensure your custom design home is exactly what you need and want. Give me a call at 904-9639 and see some of our work online at stevemartinconstruction.com. I can guarantee every detail will exceed your expectation. Steve Martin Construction, 904-9639.
Whether it's the blazing heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter, trust the professionals at Prentice Allsup Heating and Air Conditioning on West College Street to keep your home or business comfortable year-round. They service all major brands and in most cases offer fast same-day service. Also call 890-1311 for their duct cleaning service. Whether your need is residential or commercial, Prentice Allsup offers free estimates on new systems and carries a full line of Heil, Rood, and GMC products. Prentice Allsup Heating and Air Conditioning on West College Street, just under the Thompson Lane overpass.
Home style cooking, you can find it at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant on Las Casas Pike next door to Food Lion.
That's all we know is good Southern eating.
Southern style meats and vegetables served Monday through Friday lunch and dinner, and Sunday lunch, plus breakfast every Saturday morning.
We have that hometown feeling, so we try to give that to the customers.
Ricky Turner at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant. Good food, good service, good hospitality. The Cedar Bucket on Las Casas Pike next door to Food Lion.
Hi, this is Jeff Mullins with J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts on West Northfield Boulevard. Come by and see us. We have gifts for all different price ranges and for all occasions. We have Luminox, we have Citizen, we have Seiko, we have Tensi watches. They're all wooden watches with wooden dials, wooden cases, wooden bands. They're really unique, something that you can wear and get a lot of compliments on them. Inspired by you. I'm right behind Green Bank and right next door to Fuji's Restaurant.
The Ideas Tease primetime sports scene from Paleo's Grill on WGNS AM FM.
Welcome you back here to the Ideas Tease primetime sports scene from Paleo's Grill. Dick Palmer is our guest, and I do want to mention that we will be at Blackman on Friday night. The pregame show starts with Friday Night Thunder and Murphy's matchup at 5:45, then Friday Night Thunder at 6, and our pregame show starts at 7 o'clock, and then not tip-off, that would be Dick Palmer's territory, but kickoff is at 7:30 from Blackman, and Brian and Donnie and myself will be there along with Rafferty, I want to call him McCleary again, there I go. Change your name, Rafferty. Rafferty Cleary will be there, so we'll be a good game, and there'll be a one across, so we're pretty close, about 4 or 5 miles down the road, too, so some good action.
And for those intending to tune in and hear the Rick Stockstill show tonight.
It's not on.
It's not on. because of the open date this week, we'll be on next Monday night at 7 from Coach's Grill.
Yep. We've been trying to fill with, you know, do a couple of hours. This show runs through December. And
he'll be out here during December, out here on the
probably patio. Not.
He'd like to if he could.
Depends on the weather, but this is absolutely gorgeous night out here on the patio at Paleo's, and they're really great host to us here. We kind of got to 1981, and that was after you worked with John Ward at UT.
And yeah, so, I did the first 5 years of Johnny Major's tenure up there. That's when they actually expanded their network coverage to where it is now, which is just about all day. But, he called and offered me that. And so every every Tennessee game, I would drive to Knoxville, sit in the WIVK studio with Mike, with Mike Hammonds, and would do the pregame and something at halftime and postgame, and then every once in a while he'd throw it back for scores, and you had to be ready. You had to be ready. But he's the most professional broadcaster that I have ever worked for, and one of the nicest people that you'll ever want to meet. And every time I go to Knoxville, like for a women's game or something, he'll always make it a point to come down and say hello. And super guy.
You know, you run across different people in this profession, but to me, the ones that have that seem to really get it and understand it and are just the real likable guys, the ones that have the big head, the ones that are in it for all the wrong reasons, they're usually the ones that don't make it very far.
Yeah. I kind of think about the guys that use their radio voice all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I am a radio announcer.
Right.
And so, you know, I've tried to stay away from doing that. Not that I have a very good radio voice anyway.
Well, John Ward, I mean, kind of comes to mind. What you heard on the air is the kind of person that he was. And,
exactly.
You know.
And he would, in those early days of our coverage after Majors came back home, which was a big deal at Tennessee because he's just won a national championship at Pittsburgh, he would send out a 2 or 3 page critique of every broadcast to everybody that was on the network. But the person that he would criticize the most in his critique was himself.
Yeah. That says a lot.
Yeah.
1981 came, I guess you were here all along, but Monty Hale Sr., Monty Jr.'s dad, had fallen ill, and that's about the time when he had to give up the broadcasting.
Yeah, he did. And Ed Arning was the sports information director at the time. Called me in the summer of 81 and wanted to know if I was available and to do football and basketball. And I said, I would love to. So I called John and told him, and John was very gracious. He said, that's your alma mater, isn't it? And I said, yeah. He said, well, you better do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of how that got started, and I did men's basketball. Let's see, I did football for 25, men's basketball for 27 years. Baseball I've done 6, and women's basketball 5 now. I believe that's right. And every one of the coaches that I have worked for have just treated me great. And
well, I know that it's been an interesting road. The Blue Raider Network has grown and moved around to different stations and
yep.
this, that, and the other.
Yep.
But I hope has finally found a home here on GNS. And what I really think that what WGNS has tried to do is really keep that community feel in an area that is so big. I mean, I bet you cannot go to another community this large and find a station that still does high school sports,
yeah.
that still does their local college and things like that. They're probably owned by a big conglomerate and have network syndicated programming on.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's the case. And you guys do a great job in your local coverage, and it's just the same. We can't get more games on because we've got so many schools here now, and you just have to kind of keep everybody pacified, don't you, Sparks?
Yeah. Well, that's really how it works. There was some high school work in there for you at some point in the 80s as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we did. We did a bunch of high school games on GNS. Jeff Jordan worked with me for a while, and golly, we did a lot of games.
So. Well, Chip Walters did some high school
right.
when he was in college,
right,
and I think Chip followed you.
I think that's probably true because I was doing MTSU
right.
at the time.
And yeah. Jeff helped both of you.
Right.
And then I don't know that there was very long in there, and then Jeff took over and did it for 25, 26 years.
Yep.
Somewhere in there. So.
And then I've kept my hand in in high school because our little network, which actually Bill Haney started out of West Tennessee, has broadcast the state basketball tournaments and the football playoffs every year since I can't remember when. We've enjoyed working with TSSAA doing that.
I came along right about that time when the transition was being made. It was before cell phones,
mm-hmm.
so we had the buddy lines everywhere. Mm-hmm. The equipment that we used when I was working with Jeff, I still have it. I found it over the summer when I moved my office in the house. And my son said, "What is this, a detective case?" It was a little case, and I told Chip about it, and he said, "I remember that. It had some type of wood finish on it, and you open it up, and it had little four pots on it and dial." And
I think I've seen that.
You may have broadcast on it as well. I remember having to duct tape it together to get it to work the last few times. But it's changed. I mean, we're sitting here with a piece of equipment that's no bigger than, you know, probably – two phone books.
What are we on, your cell phone tonight?
No, this is the Comrex unit that we use, which is kind of what you all use, and it's got small data card, and that's what it takes to broadcast a game now. But what really got this started and why I wanted to call you was the fact that the friend of yours at WREC.
Oh, I see you've got that.
I brought it with me, and I thought it was funny because I can remember some of this, and Jeff and I probably ought to write a book about this at some point. He claims he wants to write a book about all the bad national anthems that we've heard over the years. And I'm sure you've heard yours too. But just the fact that you may not even know you're off the air and you have some policeman come up and knock on the door and say you need to call the station.
I've had that happen, yes.
You know, it just really brought back a lot of memories for me, especially in the early days of just how difficult it was to get on the air and sometimes stay on the air. One thing that happened to Jeff and I was we had a young lady who worked at the station as the board operator, and she had long fingernails. I mean, really long fingernails. And every time when we'd go to commercial break, she'd have to put us on hold.
Right.
And when we came back out of break, she had to actually push the button to activate the line. And we got cut off about 15 times because her fingernails would slip off of the button, you know. Just reminiscing over those things and I thought it would be good to have you come on and share some of your memories. We didn't even get into the biggest games and this, that, and the other. But
in the ABA, we always had two telephones. And we broadcast over telephone lines, of course.
Yeah.
And a lot still do now, but there are always two of the old-fashioned handsets right there, one on either side of your broadcast position, and one you used to dial into your station and do the game, and the other one was called a trouble line, and your board operator back home had the number, and if there was any technical problem, he could call you.
It almost always rang at some point.
Right, yeah. And one night I was doing a game in Denver, and the team, this was when the team was owned by Mr. Finley, Charles Finley, who owned the A's, Oakland A's, and he had bought the Memphis team just to keep it from going under, probably at a bargain basement price. But his phone rang, and I'm in the middle of the game. And so, you know, I kind of slipped the headset off one ear, picked the phone up, and pulled the mic over to the side, and I said, "I'm on the air." She said, "Palmer, this is Finley."
He said, wow.
"You haven't plugged ladies' night a single time."
Wow.
I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Finley. I'll get right on it." So I came back to the mic, and remember, ladies' night at the Mid-South House.
Great story. Great story. You don't
was in his office in Chicago listening to the game he just called the station and had it wired into his office, and he had it on his little speakerphone.
He's kind of a micromanager, Charlie Finley. Oh, he was something else. I guess we could ask you, and to try to close things out a little bit, but your style. You know, everybody's got a style. I've always enjoyed listen to you because you're not one of those announcers that gets really a la Mike Keith. Okay, we're gonna say, but you kind of
I can't do
keep,
that.
Yeah, you kind of always have a soothing kind of tone to the game, good or bad.
My voice would not hold up if I tried to scream and shout. Now I have done my share of that, but that was back a few years ago, and so now I try to I really try to control that because I know, and there's a lot of times I want to do it, but I know if I do it, then I'm going to lose my voice.
Yeah.
So I'll save it for one good shot sometime. It's a unique style.
And Dick, if I may ask you one more question before I let you go, and I guess we're getting close to time, but of all the games you've done and all the, I don't want to put you on the spot, but your greatest moment, maybe what's the greatest thrill that you had that you actually, and I know there have been so many, it may be hard to separate them, but one that just stands out for you.
Well, you know, I think winning the Sun Belt tournament in Arkansas, Hot Springs, 2 years ago, and that game that went right down to the wire.
Heard it.
When Alicia Clark hit the winning basket. And of course, that's recent, and there may have been more in the past that just was more exciting. But I can't think of any game that's been more exciting than that.
Brian, I really thought he was going to say being the host of the Inside Sports Scene, but he didn't say that.
No, he didn't do that.
That was at another local eatery, though.
Yes, I got to tell this story.
I think
though.
I can see it from here.
I got to tell this story about Dick, though. It's great. He is such a good interviewer. He doesn't get credit a lot of times for how he can interview people. But he would walk in on our Monday night show and no script, no nothing, not, you know, sit down and go, and here we go. And it was so smooth and talk to guests. And we were literally just, the year he did that, we were literally just awestruck at the fact he's so good at that, you know. And really, that's probably something that you've had to do off and on forever.
And there are a lot of guests that are easier to interview than others.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get somebody that's going to say, yep, no, yep, then you've got to kind of work a little bit. But most of the time, it goes real smooth. When I was working games by myself in the ABA on the road, and I did work by myself on the road, you'd always try to line up somebody at halftime who was a good talker. And I remember Marty Blake, some basketball people remember that name. He was kind of the super scout. He was the Murphy Fair of the NBA. He was the guru, the super scout. And he was at one of our games one night, and that was back when I was smoking. And I had him coming on at halftime. I said, Marty, I said, I got to go get a cigarette. I said, can you fill halftime? He said, just ask me one question. So I introduced him, asked him a question. I went out, smoked a cigarette, went to the bathroom, had a Coke, came back in, he was still talking.
That's great.
That's like putting on the long song, you know, when you're DJing.
That's right.
We got to do this again sometime. We've got part two of this.
We didn't even talk baseball and all that recent baseball stuff that he's doing. And I really enjoy your baseball games. I don't know about your cohort, though. John Callow.
Mr. Callow. The only thing wrong with John Callow is that he's a Cardinal.
Yeah,
fan.
That's exactly right.
He can't help that. That's the way he grew up. He grew up in Memphis as a Cardinal fan.
Well, whatever you do, don't retire, don't quit, don't ever, because it's a great voice to listen to. And Dick, we appreciate it. And next time you come, we'll talk more about other stuff like the baseball and things you've done outside of radio, really.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. That sounds good. I appreciate y'all having me tonight.
Another baseball season starts up pretty soon, doesn't it?
It won't be long. That's right. Wednesday afternoon, they're going to be out with doing an inter-squad game, so I'm going to go out and take a look at that.
There you go. Coach Pete.
Yep. Fish fry coming up October 10th.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We'll be there for that.
Yep.
All right, Dick Palmer, thank you very much.
Yeah,
Dick.
Enjoyed it.
All right, Dick Palmer, our guest here on the IDST's Primetime Sports Scene. We're running a little over, but I guess we're going to rejoin the Braves, I guess, or something to that effect.
Yeah, why don't you take our last break, and then we'll kind of set up the rest of the
Braves week. Need a win tonight, don't
yes,
they?
They need a win big time.
And they're trailing 2-0 last report.
Okay, great. Thanks for that news. We'll be back right after this.
Little Caesars Hot and Ready Pizza. Walk in, walk out.
Pizza's hot and ready whenever you want it. Little Caesars and pick up a large, freshly made, hot and ready pepperoni pizza for only $5. No need to call ahead. It's hot and ready all day, every day.
Three local locations on Memorial in front of Haynes Hardware, on Franklin Road and Rutherford Boulevard by Walmart.
Pizza, pizza.
Craig's Tax Service at 142 Heritage Park Drive offers complete tax preparation, financial, and bookkeeping services. Craig's Tax Service reminds you that it makes sense to get help with your taxes. No long lines and year-round service. Call 890-2233 for an appointment. That's 890-2233. Craig's Tax Service. Join Mike Craig and Bruce Hall at Craig's Tax Service in supporting all Rutherford County schools and student athletes.
The fun never ends at the Smyrna Bowling Center at the corner of Sam Ridley Parkway and Weekly Lane.
People have to have a recreational outlet, and this is one the whole family can attend, and everybody can enjoy it.
Roy Bowden is the owner of the Smyrna Bowling Center.
With a lot of the people working second and third shifts, they want to relax and have something to do before they get home and unwind, and this facility actually runs 24 hours a day.
That's right, 24 hours of fun at the Smyrna Bowling Center at the corner of Sam Ridley Parkway and Weekly Lane.
We have a saying here in the Tennessee Valley, if you don't like the weather, just give it a few minutes and it'll change, which is why you need a heating and cooling system that can keep up, like a high-efficiency electric heat pump that starts saving you money the minute you turn it on. And now that your local power company and TVA are offering 8% financing for up to 10 years, there's never been a smarter time to make the switch. So call your local power company or log on to EnergyRight.com.
Contact Murfreesboro Electric Department at 893-5514 or MurfreesboroElectric.com.
From dings and dents to full body work, Bowen's Body Shop has been trusted by Rutherford Countyans for over three decades. Let Jeff and Kyle Bowen put their years of experience to work for you. They have a large paint and body shop at 459 Middle Tennessee Boulevard with all their work done on site. If you have a fender bender or even worse, Bowen's Body Shop is the place to call. 896-0008. Family owned and operated. That's Bowen's Body Shop. 896-0008.
Having nightmares over mailing? Call me, Corey at Franklin's Printing. I am the resident mailing expert at Franklin's Printing. I will personally and professionally handle your data files. I will purge, merge, and get it in the mail on time for you. From barcodes to zip codes, postcards to magazines, relax. Franklin's will mail it for you. Call us at 895-0651 or visit us on the web at franklinsprinting.org.
The Ideas Tease primetime sports scene from Paleo's Grill on WGNS AM FM.
And we're about ready to get out of here. What a great show, Brian. The Dick Palmer Show from 7 to 8, 15 almost.
This is your life.
This is your life, Dick Palmer.
There'll be a part two at some point.
But now, Dick, you got to admit, you got to have a good woman behind you. Go all those years and get on the road, do all that PA assist announcing and all that kind of stuff.
You know, wouldn't have been able to make it on my own.
There you go.
Can't make it on your own. And
got to give her kudos.
In fact, she taped most of the game tapes that I still have in my closet somewhere. She was, while I was gone, she was working the tape machine.
Wow.
How about that?
My wife turns the radio off when she hears me. What's wrong with that picture? And Brian's wife usually just calls him and asks to go get some bread or something, you know.
Yeah.
Can you go get some bread?
Or your kid's falling out of the tire swing. We're going to the emergency room.
I used to say she just listened to me to make sure I was where I was supposed to be.
That's a running joke in my family.
There you go.
You're gone so much, how do you know? Well, yeah. At least it's a job where you know
you
hear on
the
other end.
Turn
the
radio on. Right. Yeah, that's true. Dick Palmer's been our guest. And, Brian, don't forget now, Friday we will be at Blackman. And 5:45, Murphy's matchup, 6 o'clock, Friday Night Thunder. I'm getting pretty good at this. 7 o'clock, the pregame show, and 7:30, kickoff. And we'll have another exciting high school game for you.
District week this week, Oakland at Blackman for the State Farm High School football game of the week. The following week it'll be at Hendersonville, the Riverdale Warriors there. And then after that, we haven't decided that was when we get into our flex schedule. So we'll announce that pretty soon.
Going to flex some muscle. There you go. Flex some schedule. All right. For Dick Palmer, Brian Barrett, for Donnie Johnson, Tom Crager of the Daily News Journal,
And even Jeff Jordan mentioned here or there. Let's give him a kudo tonight. We got him in there. And part of history as you go. This is John Dinkins for the Ideas Tees Primetime Sports Scene. Until we see you next Monday night, so long, everybody.
It is I, the G-Man, coming to you via AM and FM on the Big G, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
That's a pretty darn good throw by the center fielder. So here's Gonzalez with the bases clean. Alex, a big double back in the fourth inning. First pitch coming. Inside corner for a strike, 0-1. It looked like in the fourth inning, the Braves are going to have another frustrating inning. Uglas single, McCann single. Prado and Hayward both struck out, but Gonzalez got a breaking ball and doubled in Hayward. Or doubled in Uglas. Outside goes Badenhop, 1-1.